We sang that song this morning. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he marvelous? Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. And we say that this morning. Oh, what a Savior. Lord, we just want to lift up your name. Lord, we just want to know your presence. Lord, we just want to hear your word. Lord, that you would come. Lord, as you promised, as you said you would. Lord, that you would come this morning. Lord, that you would cause your word to be life to our hearts this morning. Lord, that you would open up, Lord. Lord, just your mind and your heart and your desire and your passion for each one of us, Lord, and cause us to know afresh, what a wonderful Savior you are. You know, we sing in that song, forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that's just the beginning. Precious and all, and vital and all, as it is, forgiveness is just where Jesus started. Amen. And there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more. Just want to look in John chapter 6 this morning. I can't remember if I shared this here before. It's kind of a problem that arises that I can't remember what I've said, where I've said it. You let me know. If you don't tell me, then I'll say it again anyway. Well, you know, that's how it works for me. I need to hear things again and again and again. Jesus, in John chapter 6, Jesus has just been out and about with a vast crowd of people. He has just fed at least 5,000 people with a couple of loaves and possibly a few fish as well. And then he ends up back on the other side of the lake, and he's talking to some of the Jews there. And they say to him, verse 30, they say to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? Show us a sign. Prove to us that you are who you say you are. This is just coming off the back of feeding 5,000 people with a few scraps. Well, for some people, you know, that's just not good enough. Sometimes if people want signs, if people want to see miracles and stuff, you know what? Nothing is ever big enough. Nothing is ever persuasive enough. Because when we're wanting something extravagant, spectacular to happen, it's not because we're desperate. It's not because we have to have a touch from God. We're sniffing around and seeing, will we like it or will we not? You know, who cares? But Jesus said to them, they said to him, show us some, what sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And further on, he makes it even clearer. He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus makes it perfectly clear and plain to them. He is the bread that comes down from heaven. He is the manna that comes down from heaven. And those Jews, they would have known straight away what he was getting at right there, because, you know, they knew the story. They knew how when the Israelites were out in the wilderness, out in the desert, no food, nothing to eat, that every day God would send the manna down from heaven that they might live. And you know, they knew full well that if they took enough manna for 2 days or 3 days, that was no good, because the manna would only last for one day. The manna was fresh every day, every day. And Jesus said, that's who I am. I'm the manna that comes down fresh every day. You don't have to try to make do with what you got yesterday. You don't have to try to make do with what you got last week. That there is bread, there is food, there is life fresh every day from God for each one of us. Wow. Isn't he marvelous? Isn't he wonderful? This Jesus, this Savior. Oh. And you see, there were guys who came to Jesus and said, you know, Lord, teach us to pray. And we always think of the Lord's Prayer when we think of that. He said, teach us to pray. But he also said something else to them. He said, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. And when we put that with the scripture that talks about how he is the bread that comes down from heaven, the implication of that is, go into your closet, shut the door, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be waiting for you. Whew. And I was just thinking this morning, you know, as we were worshiping the Lord, just a little bit different came to me on that, where he says, go into your closet. Okay, what's a closet, for goodness sake? Is that where you hang your clothes? Well, it might be. But actually, in Jesus' time, this word that they give us in scripture that they translate into English as closet was to do with the fact that the houses that most people would have had in Jesus' day was just one big room. And everything happened in that one big room, except that out the back, there was kind of a lean-to built against the back of the house. And that was the storage place. That's where the food was. That's where bits and pieces. That was the shed, basically. That was the shed. And it was called the closet. And Jesus was saying, go out to where you're on your own. Go out to where there's nobody else, where you're not going to be distracted, where you're not going to be interrupted, and shut the door. And that was the bit that really impacted me this morning. Shut the door. Because what does that imply? That implies that you're leaving stuff behind. And it was just put on my heart just so strongly, you know, when we come to this place of encounter with God that he invites us to every day, there's stuff to leave at the door. There's stuff to leave behind. And it's all that old stuff about, you know, how am I doing? I'm going to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, so how's it going for me? How's my walk been doing? You know, how's my Bible study been doing? How's my reading program been doing? How am I? He says, leave all that at the door. You say, well, if I leave all that at the door, then I come with nothing. And he says, exactly. That's the way I want you. I want you to come with nothing. With nothing. Because I'm everything. I am everything. And there is a verse in scripture that Paul uses several times that really brings this to relevance for me. And it's this thing that Paul says every so often. He says, I pray or I beseech you that you have a walk worthy of the Lord. That you have a walk worthy of the Lord. And when I hear that, suddenly I realize, you know, if that's down to me, then that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. If that's down to my Bible study program, if that's down to my willpower, if that's down to my effort, if that's down to, it's never going to happen. When you think about it, you know, to have a walk worthy of the Lord, this God of all creation who came in the form of a man, in the form of a baby, to redeem mankind, to live a life here on the earth, to show the love and the mercy and the grace of the Father, to show the heart of the Father, healing the sick, raising the dead, to show the authority and the power of the Father, casting out demons, breaking down strongholds, defeating the devil in personal encounter. This Lord who so loved each one of us that he opened out his hands to take the nails and be hung on the cross and to die a shameful criminal's death and did not relent and did not stop until every sin and every failing of mankind was taken care of, including mine. And Paul says, have a walk worthy of the Lord. So how impossible? How could a human being ever have a walk worthy of the Lord? Why does Paul say that if it's not possible? And here's the thing. You know, I am convinced, and people have all kinds of different ideas about, you know, the end of the age and the signs of the times, and, you know, they point at something that's happening in the world, or, you know, they point at the fact that Israel has become a nation, or they point at the fact that, you know, this person has some of the things that Revelations talks about, or all kinds of stuff. That the gospel is going out into all the nations must be getting close to when God calls it a day, sounds the trumpet, wraps it up. But I do believe there's one thing that must happen before that happens, and that is that there will be a generation of redeemed people upon the earth who walk in holiness, who walk in all that the cross of Calvary purchased, Jesus himself on the cross, bought and paid for. There will be a generation that will walk in the fullness of that. Otherwise, shall we say that the cross of Calvary failed? Shall we say that God wasn't able to redeem mankind fully? Shall we say that? No, we won't. But if that is the case, then there will be a generation. There will be a people who will walk in the fullness. How is that going to happen? Well, it's not by my effort. It's not by your effort. It's not by my ability. It's not by your ability. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe that God is bringing forth a people upon the earth who are on that road. Now, I'm not saying that there's anybody yet who's been perfected, or I don't know of that. I know certainly it's not me, and I know certainly I haven't met anybody who says it's me, but I do know that God is putting people on the road by which the people who walk in the fullness of holiness will walk that same road to completion. Amen. And what is that road? That road is where we come every day and receive the manna that comes down from heaven. That we come into the presence of God. See, there's something great about desperation. Desperation. You know, Jesus told the disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit. You remember that? Do you know, he never told them how long. How long are you going to wait? I mean, can you imagine what that was like? There's 120 people in a room living together. I mean, that's like takeouts every night. For how long? Well, I don't know. You can imagine family members coming up and saying, Dad, the roof has fallen in again. How long are you going to be there? I don't know. Mom, the children are running wild. The fence is broken down. The goats have got out again. When are you coming out of there? I don't know. They didn't know when they were coming. Why did they stay there? Desperation. Desperation. Because they had walked with Jesus. And they'd seen the things that he had done. They'd believed the promises that he had said. And they'd believed what he had said about what they would do and what they would accomplish and that. They believed him. They believed him. And then he said, I'm going away. And he was the one who called all the shots. He was the one who led the way. And now they were on their own. So how are they going to make this happen? They weren't going to make it happen. He said, wait in Jerusalem. So they waited. So they waited. If the Holy Spirit hadn't shown up in the way he did, they'd probably still be waiting. Because what else is there to do? Where else can you go? Where are you going to get the power to live a godly life? See, people sometimes think that, you know, if you're holy enough, you can have life. Well, that's wrong. That's not just a little bit wrong. That is as completely wrong as you can get. Because you can't even, well, I don't know. I don't know about you, just to be honest. I don't know about you, but I know about me. And I know I can't live one day as a Christian unless I have an encounter with God. That's it. That's it. And, you know, when he says, go into your closet, shut the door, I'll be there. It's not so you can give a report of how you've been doing for the last day. It's so that you can feast on the manna from heaven. Because in his presence, there is something like what I call the gravitational pull of holiness. That when you're in his presence, when you're encountering this one who has loved you so deeply and so greatly, when you encounter him, when you see his face, when you touch his heart, there is that gravitational pull to holiness. It's like it's automatic. It comes with his presence. So if you want to walk as a Christian, we have to have his presence on a daily basis. How important is that to you? Well, I'm desperate. I can't do without that. You know, sometimes people think because you come and preach and, you know, share the word in different places that all your struggles are over and that you've really got your ducks in a row and you sorted it out. I cannot live for one day as a Christian without the presence of God. I can't do it. I can't do it. Can't do it. But flip it around. The other side is, I know how to walk holy. I know that it's in Him. I don't come to the presence of God because I'm holy. I come to the presence of God because He's holy. And He wants to share that with me. And I can tell you, I can't tell you the number of times I've failed. I can't tell you the number of times I've come short. I can't tell you the number of times I've been ashamed to go into the presence of God. I can't tell you the number of times. And yet I know, isn't He wonderful? Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. And what He's been putting on my heart recently has been, David, there is so much more grace than you know about. There is so much more grace on the cross that you're leaving behind. There's so much more. I say, what? What? And what I've come to understand is, you see, it's not that God pours out grace upon you. It's not even that God invites you to receive grace. And I want to say this really carefully because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying here. But there's something about that we have to come, and what Jesus has purchased for us on the cross and has left for us, we have to come and we have to take that. Because that's a choice. You see, if I'm waiting for God to pour out grace on me, then I'm putting it on God. Or if I'm waiting to receive grace, I'm putting it onto God. So if I don't walk in victory, I say, oh, God never gave me the grace. No, but when you choose to come to the presence of God and to take overcoming life for whatever it is that you're grappling with, see, when you choose to take that because He purchased it on the cross by His blood, if I take that for today, overcoming life, then I do a whole lot better. Do a whole lot better. But I have to come and I have to take it. You see, because it's there, because He's provided it. There's a whole lot more on the cross that we've never touched. How do I know that? Well, because none of us have ever walked in total holiness. You shall be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. You know, all the commandments back in Exodus and Leviticus and all those, they all had those words scattered in through them. You shall be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Those were commandments of God. But Jesus spoke those words as well. You shall be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. But when Jesus spoke them, you know what? That's His promise. That's a promise. You shall be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. And someday, you know, maybe if it has to be so, then when I receive my resurrection body and Jesus has returned, I've been raised from the dead, then that'll be true. But I believe that God is making it more and more possible for that to be true today as we see this whole world getting ready for the final act. And this morning, you know, I just want to make an opportunity. Because maybe some of us, as I do, every day, Maybe some of us just need to take something today that God has already provided. Some of us maybe just need to take something, overcoming life in some area of life. Maybe some of us today can make a step beyond where we have gone before by taking overcoming life for today. What are you going to do tomorrow? Well, you're invited to come and take it again tomorrow. Amen? But if we live like that, life can be completely different because his life is overcoming life. So I just want to make an opportunity this morning. Maybe we could just, stand and pray? And, you know, if there's nothing that you need right now, just worship the Lord. But if there is, if there's something that you know in your heart, something that you've struggled with, something that has you feel has held you back, and you want overcoming life for that, we're just going to pray right now. And we're just going to take it because it's there. It's there for us to take. Provision purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. So Jesus, just, oh, what a Savior you are. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank you that you didn't relent, that you didn't hold back, you didn't stop short. So Lord, just thank you for all of your provision for my life, for our lives. Lord, just today, this morning, I just come right now. And for today, I take overcoming life. I choose overcoming life for me today because you bought it and you paid for it on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. So I take it right now. If you want to just put out your hand and just take it. Take it from his hand right now. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your abundant grace to walk with you. Shiada Bakai. Thank you, Lord. Shiada Bakai. Shiada Bakai. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you've done that this morning, and you just want to give thanks to the Lord, maybe we could just sing that song again. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Shadaba. Shadaba. Because he's there to see you through. I feel like the Lord is saying that this morning. You know, I'm there to see you through. I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. And you are a work in progress. And I am saving you. And though you succeed many times and though you fall many times, yet I have not relented concerning you and I am not giving up concerning you. But I am going to walk you through this. So you just walk through it with me, says the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Holy life, the holiness of God. It's not in our own strength or our own power. Some people have stronger willpower than others. That's not fair if it is relying on ourselves. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, you provided the answer for each one of us. It is not through our strength, but it is through your strength, Lord God. It is through you. You are our answer, and you are our strength. And you are the holiness within us that caused us to walk in the holiness of life. That we are holy because you are holy and you are in us. And we give praise to you, Lord God. Your sacrifice of your own life empower us and enable us to live the life that you call us to live. As your people, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you. Praise you, Lord God. Lord God, we forgive us for even trying to live this life in our own strength. And we repent of that. And we release our strength and our own self try to do it. And we hand that to you. And Holy Spirit, as we release that to you, empower us. Come into that place where we've been trying. Empower us to live the life that you call us to live. It is through your power. We praise you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.